The text that is listed as our sermon text for the day begins with verse 12 of Exodus 24, but I'd actually like to read the whole chapter because it tells one whole story of a meaningful encounter that God's people had with God, worshiping Him at the foot of a mountain, seeing the Lord in His glory, as we've heard and sung already this morning. So I'll begin reading Exodus 24 in verse 1 and read through the end of the chapter, verse 18. Then God said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him." When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commands I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain. And on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise for being God of the universe, for being King of kings and Lord of lords, one whose glory we can only begin to imagine in our mind's eye. As we center our thoughts and our hearts on this mysterious encounter with you from so many years ago, we pray that you would open our eyes that we might see you, open our ears that we might hear your voice, and make our spirits aware of your spirit, that we might know your presence among us even now in this service. Bless this time as we reflect together in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever wonder about what God wants? What God desires? What God wishes for? A lot of the time we reduce our understanding of what God wants to individual discrete actions that we take. God wants us to pray. God wants us to be nice. God wants us to come to church. God wants us to repent of sin. God wants us to worship Him. God wants us to give offerings to Him. And those are all well and good. But what does God really want? And how does God go about reaching that goal? There are a number of ways you could answer that question. But as I read Scripture from beginning to end, one answer jumps out to me in terms of what God wants and what God is seeking and desiring. And that is, God wants relationship with His people. He wants to know us and to love us and to be one with us. He wants to meet us and to share time with us, to speak with us, and to make covenant with us. One of those funny words that we don't use much. To make mutual promises with us. To solidify and strengthen and make real our relationship with Him. The Bible contains stories of God reaching out to His people with His love. The story we've read from Exodus 24 is an especially true example of God's love reaching out to His people. God is working with a specific group of people, the Israelites, and they have just received the Ten Commandments and all the other kinds of laws and regulations and expectations from the Lord to guide their lives. And in this story, as the people confirm their covenant with God, and there's a sort of ritual that is explained in that passage, a ceremony that involves eating food and drinking, or doing something with blood, not necessarily drinking it, but there's food and drink involved. Interesting. Hold on to that idea. As we read that story of God's people beginning and establishing their covenant with the Lord, God shows Himself to His people and invites His people into His presence through their representative, Moses. Moses, the leader of the people, plays this role of representing all the people before God. And there's a thinning, a narrowing of the circle of people who are allowed into God's presence as the story progresses. All of the people are at the foot of the mountain, but not all of them can go up the mountain. And Moses and Aaron and others, 70-some other people, go partway up the mountain, and then they get left behind. And then Moses goes with Joshua, his aide, and then in the very last scene, Joshua is not even present. We assume he might still be there, but the text only talks about Moses entering into the cloud. Moses gets to be in God's presence. And it takes time. Moses was in God's presence for 40 days and 40 nights. He even had to wait almost a week before God spoke to him out of that cloud. For 6 days, the cloud was just there on top of the mountain. And on the seventh day, then, God spoke to Moses and invited him to come in. It's a long, slow, deliberate story of God inviting His people through Moses into His presence. It takes time for Moses to answer. It takes time for us to read the story. And I think we need to be comfortable with that length of time. We live in a time, in an era, in a society where we're not usually comfortable waiting for much. We have a tendency to be a little bit impatient as people. Anybody want to confess that today? Culturally speaking, we can be impatient, and individually we can be impatient. We like to have things happen quickly. We love our drive-through restaurants where you don't have to wait in line, or at least a very long line. And if you go to the right one, there are two drive-through lanes. And so maybe the thought is you can wait even less long. We love to have things quickly. We love to see all of the important news that takes place in the whole world in a 30-minute broadcast. Broken up by commercials, of course. So really, like, you know, 20 minutes worth of news, and we learned everything that there is to learn in the whole world. We love to communicate our deepest thoughts and concerns and ideas and opinions online, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Snapchat, on Instagram, in all of the different social media forms that we have. And if you're like me, anything that's really, really long, I think, oh, I don't have time to read that. Give it to me short, right? Our attention span is very small. And in some ways, our attention span for the Lord is kind of small too. In some ways, we function in a sort of impatient spiritual way. Think of how we function as a congregation. We come together 1 hour a week. For some of us, that's all the engagement we have with each other or with spiritual things. And we expect that hour to be it, the thing to recharge our spiritual batteries for the week. And if it doesn't happen in this 1 hour, well, you know, I guess we'll have to come back next week and see how it goes then. Do we expect our spiritual lives to be fed in the same way that our stomachs are fed at McDonald's or at Burger King? Or in small doses, quick things that get served to us? Or are we like Moses, able to sit before the Lord for a week before he says anything? And then to be in his presence for more than a month? And have that be the way we understand life? God issues his invitation to his people. Come up on the mountain. Stay here with me. Let's be in each other's presence. Let's renew our covenant relationship with each other. And let's not rush the process. But let's enjoy our time together. What God really wants is to be fully present with his people in a non-anxious, very patient sort of way. When I think about God being very non-anxious and patient and very deliberate in how he moves and how he interacts with people, my mind is taken to a work of fiction, a classic work of literature, The Lord of the Rings, by J.R.R. Tolkien. In the second of those three books, The Two Towers, we meet Treebeard. Anybody remember Treebeard? He is an ent. E-N-T, ent. He is one of the ents, right? Ents are trees that move very slowly, speak very deliberately, take long periods of time to have conversations and to make decisions. When situations call for it, they can act very strongly and with great action and great motion. But on a regular basis, they are just very deliberate about their behaviors. Treebeard says this, a little quote from The Two Towers. I'll speed it up for you because it's kind of slow. I am not going to tell you my name, not yet at any rate. A queer, half-knowing, half-humorous look came with a green flicker into his eyes. For one thing, it would take a long while. My name is growing all the time. And I've lived a very, very long time, so my name is like a story. Real names tell you the story of things they belong to in my language, in the old Entish, as you might say. It is a lovely language, but it takes a very long time to say anything in it, because we do not say anything in it unless it is worth taking a long time to say and to listen to. very slow, very deliberate, very long-lasting conversations that ants have with each other. Ants are trees in the world of the Two Towers, and in the real world, trees have that same kind of personality, if you want to think of it that way. Trees serve that same role. They are tall and strong and long-lasting. They are never impatient. They always roll with the seasons. They are very deliberate. They are alive in a way that is kind of mysterious to us. They contain strength that we harness when we form lumber out of them. They contain energy that we harness when we use them as firewood. And there is something comforting, I think, about sitting next to a tree. An old tree that has been around for many years, perhaps many generations. Trees remind us that there is life all around us. And that the world is much bigger and older and more patient than we are. God is like trees, to an extent. God is like the ants, to an extent, from the Two Towers. He is strong and deliberate and unhurried and intentional and very, very old. Of course, there are some differences. God is ultimately relational and wants to be in relationship with us. God has created us in His image, and so we resemble Him in some significant way. God is constantly inviting His people into relationship with Him, to draw near to Him, to renew their covenant with Him. What God wants from time to time, from generation to generation, in all situations, is for His people to climb the mountain, to enter into the cloud, and to stay there a while with Him. God wants His people's lives to be shaped by reality of life with Him, in God's presence. So what does that look like today? How do we actually engage in God's presence? We use the phrase mountaintop experiences in a way to describe events that are spiritual highs or really fill us up with a lot of positive energy. Things like going to Guatemala, for instance, might be a mountaintop experience. And there are mountains in Guatemala, so that kind of makes sense, right? Things like our state youth convention or other kinds of really meaningful, perhaps a camp meeting comes to mind, really meaningful experiences in your life that have been mountaintop experiences. But we don't actually climb mountains and get into God's presence, as Moses did. We don't enter into clouds and receive stone tablets from God that have the Ten Commandments written on them. That's kind of Moses' thing, and not really ours. How do we experience God's presence? We don't even, as Moses and the other elders in this story, we don't even get to see God as they did and see the sapphire pavement underneath His feet. What an amazing experience that must have been. We don't have that kind of experience. But God does invite us to eat and drink with Him. As the elders did when they saw the Lord, they saw Him standing on this sapphire-like pavement, and they ate and drank. Hospitality with the Lord. God does invite us to eat and drink with Him. The Lord's Supper is the most significant way that we eat and drink with Him. The Lord's Supper is a covenant renewal ceremony. It's an opportunity for us to re-engage with the Lord and to remember what God has done through Jesus and to renew our commitments to follow Him in this time. And just like Moses said in Exodus 24, the blood of the covenant is present here. And the blood of the covenant that the Lord is showing to us represents the covenant that God has made with us in accordance with all the words that we recite, the things that we remember, the story of Jesus that shapes our lives. So as we share in the Lord's Supper today, part of our worship experience, this will be a time for us to renew our covenant, or to make new our covenant, our promises to the Lord, and to remember His invitation to draw near to Him. It's a time for renewal, a time for dedication, a time for making commitments for the coming year. We've been walking along what I've called the path of discipleship for the past several weeks, and that series is coming to an end today, but the walking along the path never really ends. Today, as we draw this series to a close, I invite you to think on the discipleship goals, the spiritual growth goals that you may have been considering over the past few weeks. If you haven't, I have a handout. Oh, where did they go? I'm getting things confused. The handout that I gave to you a few weeks ago, entitled The Discipleship Plan for 2017. I have extras of these. Can I have a volunteer to help pass these out? Angela, thank you. Tyler, thank you. Anybody who needs one of these, if you brought yours with you, you have it and you don't need one. But Angela, if you would distribute these, Tyler, if you distribute these, they're all the same. Make sure everybody gets one. I'll keep one for myself. Thank you. Just raise your hand if you need one. If you already have one, that you can pull it out. This discipleship plan for 2017 is meant to describe how we will grow together as individuals and as a congregation through the coming year. And it's broken up into three different categories where three things are needed for our continued spiritual growth: our practice and our teaching and our community. How will we grow in how we practice spiritual life? How will we grow in how we learn, how we understand, how we gain knowledge, gain experience? And then how will we grow in our experience of sharing life together as a community? Each of those three categories is really essential for our spiritual growth. And my challenge for you is to set a goal for yourself, one or two goals in each of those three categories. And as I've said before, you can pick the options that are listed there, or you can write things on the blanks. If those options don't speak your language, that's fine. But to think of one, two, or three ideas, one or two ideas from each of the three categories, we're looking for maybe 3 to 6 ideas total. Very broad, very simple things, maybe complex things, that you will make an effort to focus on as part of your spiritual growth this coming year. Thank you, Tyler. Well done. And Angela, wonderful. Thank you, thank you. As we share the Lord's Supper together, I'm going to ask you to keep these ideas in mind. Thank you, Angela. The ideas of what you would like to do, how you would like to grow in your spiritual life this year. If nothing is really coming to mind, if you're not sure how to proceed from here, that's all right. That's okay. This takes time, and our, remember, God's not in a rush. Our experience of making commitments to the Lord is something that can take time too. As we share in the Lord's Supper together, this will be a time for us to make a covenant with the Lord to say, this is how we're going to grow, or this is how we're going to consider growing. If you don't have ideas of how to fill this in just yet, keep this on your radar. Don't let go of it just yet. But keep asking the Lord how He would have you to grow in the year to come. Because Moses took a whole week before the Lord, before he even knew to go into the cloud. And then it was 40 days before he went back to normal life. It could very well be that the Lord takes some time to speak to our hearts, to let us know how He would have us to grow. But if He has spoken to your heart and how He would have you to grow in this year, then let's commit to doing that in our service here today. As we turn our eyes toward Jesus, as we'll sing in the next song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's not be anxious or impatient. As we read the gospel story from Matthew 17, let's go up the mountain with Jesus on His own mountaintop experience. And then as we approach the Lord's table together, let's spend time with Him. Let's bring our full selves before Him and listen to His voice. Let's share a meal with Him in remembrance of Him. And let's renew our promises with Him. Promises for today and tomorrow and this year and the rest of our lives. Would you pray with me? Lord our God, we pray that You would sanctify this time as we rehearse the story of Your gracious gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, through His death and resurrection. As we prepare ourselves to approach the table of the Lord, prepare us not just for this moment, but for a year's worth of growth in You. Speak to our hearts and help us to know how best to take steps forward that we might grow in You and draw near to You as Moses did of old. These things we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.